Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Human Rights Demand. We have a special treat for you today. In the absence of Bob Darby, we have with us Mr. Paul Hayes. Mr. Hayes will talk to you on behalf of the incarcerated mentally ill. Yes, the incarcerated mentally ill need advocacy. Also, the homeless mentally ill. And we're going to talk today about the situation of our homeless mentally ill people. Hello, Paul. How are you today?
Hello there, Mary. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. And I want to thank you for joining us today. I found out that we have stalkers, of course, here at Blog Talk Radio and throughout the Internet. I found that they have removed an hour of online programming from our listeners. In other words, we only have another 13 minutes to be live on the air, but the public can come to our link here at Blog Talk Radio, Human Rights Demand Channel, and play the entire message. So you can continue after this 13 minutes that we'll be live on air, but people will have to rely on the tape to hear the entire program after the initial 13 minutes, because at 13 now, no more calls can be accepted. So I want people who want to speak on air to call in right now at 347-857-3293. Again, that's 347-857-3293. I want to let the public know before you get started that we have an action planned throughout America. Anonymous apparently has called this a national day of protest regarding the murders of black young men. For instance, Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, and also Ezell Ford, who was a mentally ill young man who was murdered by police, LAPD, in Los Angeles, California on August 11th. The whole world knows about Michael Brown's murder now, but they don't know about the copycat murder that police in L.A. did to a young black man who was crossing the street, and they told him to lie down, face down on the pavement. When he did that, they shot him numerous times in the back and killed him. That's the way they kill young black men in California, is reminiscent of the Oscar Grant killing. So while the world is talking about Michael Brown, we at the Mentally Ill program want to focus more on Ezell Ford, who was also killed on this week or last week. So go right ahead, Paul, and present your show. Thank you.
Well, it's hard to talk after hearing testimony like that, but, you know, they don't lock up the police after the police kill people. Ezell Ford was innocent and wasn't hurt in a flea. And, you know, so many people don't trust the police these days because there's so many instances around the country of the police killing people, whether it be in New York or the Oakland BART system, Los Angeles, where they have, and a lot of these places have a history of doing it. It's not just a one-time thing. What we need is government officials to look out for the rights of individuals and groups and to try to protect people from abuses and reward the people who make the right decision and, you know, at least take away their gun and get them off the streets if that's all we can do. And whether it's in St. Louis or New York City, Oakland, Los Angeles, wherever it may be, people need to take a stand for health and well-being of the common people and the people who pay the taxes. Now, when they have mental illnesses, that's another layer of issues. They might need treatment somewhere. People might not need hospitalization, but they might need to get to a community clinic, and they might need to talk with somebody to prevent violence against loved ones. This is becoming a part of the bureaucracy now called the crisis intervention teams, and they're trained to talk to people and to talk them out of trouble, and they're police people who get special training who talk down an issue and talk it out of conflict, because there are people who are doing something bad who need somebody to step in and prevent them from doing that. If you've got information about this, you can call Blog Talk Radio at 347-857-3293. We're talking about mentally ill issues, police violence. We're talking about jails. We're talking about mental hospitals being closed. Did you know that over the last few years, from 2009 to 2011, 30 out of 50 states cut their mental health budgets? So if you're a family and you have a typically mental illness starts in the teens or 20s, if you have a family member who has a breakdown and who needs help, the funds available are being cut in a majority of states. And what's replacing this is low-wage jobs and prisons and, there's not a lot of help available other than medicine. There's very little counseling available. You have to pay for that. That's $200 an hour. Most people, even the middle class, can't afford that. So we are trying to describe issues that are affecting our country and affecting the residents and citizens around the country. These issues are happening in every state. They're happening in every town. They're happening in every county. One of the biggest psychiatric prisons in the United States is the Cook County Jail in Chicago. And the Los Angeles County Jail is one of the biggest psychiatric prisons. And these are people who have committed crimes, but they also have a mental illness. And they need treatment behind bars. And the treatment is not great. There are issues about what kind of drugs can be used by state prisons. They can't have access to all the good drugs that are out there, the newer drugs, the drugs that cost more money. And anyhow, this is an issue in the prisons. There was an article in the New York Times on February the 9th, 2014, about the huge number of prisoners that have psychiatric diagnoses. And for every person in a bed in a state mental hospital or a public hospital, there are three men and women in beds in jails with psychiatric illnesses. Call us at Blog Talk Radio at 347-857-3293. Let us know what's going on in your neighborhood. Let us know what's going on in your state. Let us know what's going on with your family or coworkers or friends. It's expensive to put people in jail. treatment is a better option. People can get help early. If they can get help early, they can avoid some of the more serious charges against them. And we worry in Georgia and Alabama, they've been closing mental hospitals. They've closed two hospitals in Alabama, and they're closing, they've closed three mental hospitals in Georgia that are paid for by the taxpayer. These hospitals, we worry, are going to be the last line of help for people who need help. We don't know what's going to happen. We're not sure what's going to happen down the road. They say that they're going to redirect the money into other types of services. We've heard different reports, different news items from people connected to the issue that have reported that it's not happening that easily, and we need hospitals. Some people need a hospital. So if mental hospitals are something you are concerned about, if people in jail are something you are concerned about, call Blog Talk Radio at 347-857-3293. What else can we talk about in our time here? We've got a few more minutes. Do we have any listeners in Colorado or Illinois or California? Do we have any listeners in Alabama? Yeah.
We have listeners in all of those places. I'm told that our broadcasts reach a wide audience. However, sometimes people have trouble dialing into this station, and that is a result of COINTELPRO. I don't know, Paul, if you understand what that means. That means that there's censorship.
I understand that. It was an intelligence program to neutralize leadership in the anti-war and black communities. And they disrupted people's mail and phone calls, and they do that. They do that to keep in power. And you know, we're providing information about people's health care. We're not trying to dig a tunnel under the White House.
Exactly. And the thing
what do you have to say about this issue, Mary?
Well, I wanted to say, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
I wanted to say that I thank the audience for tuning in every Thursday as we discuss human rights for mentally ill people who are homeless and those who are soon to be homeless, particularly in the Atlanta, Georgia area, as shelters are closing. And I want to say that tonight at 7 p.m., there will be a demonstration in front of the old courthouse that I intend to attend. I have been dared by police to go to the government buildings downtown Decatur because police everywhere stick together, and it appears that they do not appreciate not having freedom of speech because I use it to tell about my brother's secret arrest and murder, that's wrongful death of Larry Neal, and to stand up for mentally ill people throughout the world, no matter what race they are, no matter what nation they belong to. So I want to thank you for praying for us in Atlanta area, praying for Mary Neal, because I will not back down. I will continue to be an advocate on behalf of the incarcerated mentally ill, no matter what these people do. I just wrote releases to the internet companies that I use that if these people do turn dangerous tonight and if I am harmed, that I want, number one, all of my articles, my internet posts, and everything to stay live online. I give over all say-so over those articles and internet posts to my daughter, who is my beneficiary also, as well as my executor. And she also will have negotiation responsibilities regarding my manuscript, Cochrane Firm Fraud. I want everybody to know that it is everyone's responsibility to see that neither Michael Brown's family nor Ezell Ford's family end up in the hands of the Jenny Cochran firm, which is a COINTELPRO operation against justice for the people who Jenny Cochran's to protect legally. So COINTELPRO has that law firm now, and they misuse Jenny Cochran's name to defraud his people. So please read my articles about that called Cochran Firm Fraud. Look for my book about that called Cochran Firm Fraud. And I want you to know it's not just the fraud of a law firm, but it is a tremendous fraud across the country against African Americans after police murders, after corporate wrongdoing. Their job is to go in and silence what happened from the inside, to gain the confidence of the survivors and to get them to sign contract with them and to agree not to go to candlelight vigils, not to speak out against their loved one's murder, because they're handling everything. That's the lie that the Cochran firm told my family when we signed contract with them immediately after the murder of my mentally ill brother, who was secretly arrested and killed after 18 days of secret incarceration in Memphis Shelby County Jail. And so I want everyone
to take their
personal responsibility to reveal the Cochran firm fraud, because the media will not. That law firm saves government entities and major corporations billions, with a B, billions of dollars a year by defrauding its own clients. I have compiled the list of lawsuits against that firm by its former clients, by its former lawyers, even by some of its former partners, as well as some of its former partners that, you know, are in other law firms that, you know, sometimes other law firms partner with the Cochran firm to handle cases, and they even defraud them, and they've sued. So I just want you to look at the list of lawsuits against that law firm and some of the things that that law firm has done to its own clients, attorneys, partners, at an article called Treacherous, Beware of Treacherous Law Firm, the Cochran Firm. You know, just look up Cochran Firm Fraud. Now, this is a big secret. The COINTELPRO law firm, Jenny Cochran Firm, is a big secret because they want to continue to use that law firm to make fools of African Americans throughout the nation forever, and putting it out damages that prospect. But they are COINTELPRO. They are working against African Americans, and don't let the fact that they have African Americans in that firm fool you. The thing is that I read that the Ferguson protesters heckled the clergy response team members that came to their town. Yes, they heckled the well-known Al Sharpton and others who came to their town to control them. That's why they come.
They come to control.
Go ahead, sir.
What city is this law firm in?
The Cochran firm?
Yeah.
The Jenny Cochran firm has 30 locations throughout the country. It's the Jenny Cochran firm. And they dropped the Jenny, and it's just the Cochran firm. They're located throughout the country. But when you sue them, they disclaim that there is any such thing as the Cochran firm. So we sued them downtown Atlanta, and they got Judge Wendy Shoup to dismiss the lawsuit by saying there is no such thing as the Cochran firm in Georgia. And she did that. She dismissed our lawsuit against them, saying there's no such thing as the Cochran firm in Atlanta. So we then sued them in federal court for defrauding that family, pretending to carry our wrongful death lawsuit forward regarding the murder of my brother, Larry Neal. And United States District Court dismissed our case, saying that whatever the Cochran firm did to us to prevent a lawsuit against Shelby County Jail was immaterial. So the judge in a federal court has said that whatever the Cochran firm does to defraud people and prevent lawsuits against police after murders is immaterial. That was said by federal judge Timothy Batten. So while a lot of people have a lot of hope in the federal government, right now the federal government is taking over the case regarding Ferguson, Missouri, protesting. They have relieved all the police in that area of duty, and the feds will take over monitoring that situation. And also many people call for federal investigations after wrongful deaths, like Michael Brown's and like Ezell Ford's wrongful death that happened last week. But I say to you that the feds are no more interested in justice for black people than the local police are. In fact, if the feds were more dedicated to justice, then we wouldn't have a federal government that's looking to spend $1.5 trillion on a bomber jet. I think it's F-15 bomber jet, $1.5 trillion, while homeless people are being turned out of homeless shelters here in Atlanta. We wouldn't have Larry Neal, that's my brother, secretly arrested and murdered in a jail that was already under federal overview, and the United States Department of Justice is helping to hide the murder. We wouldn't have all of these murders, police murders going on, if we had a United States Department of Justice that was the least bit interested in justice for Americans. So I want to remind everybody that federal police are still police, and their first concern is protecting other police. I want you to know that, and also just watch the feds, because they are no more interested in justice than their local police. And when they get interested in justice, if they ever do, then you will see automatically a change in local police, because the agency that is over all of them will control them better. They will stop being prosecuted, as you heard Paul Hayes say. Police should be prosecuted after murders rather than protected. They're doing the same thing regarding police murderers that the Catholic Church did regarding its priests that were sexually abusing children. They simply, at the most, terminate them or move them to another area, terminate them, and they get a job on the police force in the next town. They don't actually arrest them, usually. Police officers are not usually arrested at all. I think that even when they are indicted by a grand jury, like Kelly Thomas's murderers were, they do something to the jury. I guess they hypnotize them and get them to let the police off. So even those who are arrested and indicted usually get off at jury trial somehow. Were you surprised, Paul Hayes, when the police who killed Kelly Thomas were found not guilty?
I don't know about that case. It's so hard to keep track of all
the... Kelly Thomas was a mentally ill young white man. He was 33 years old. He was beat to death by police in California, Fullerton, California.
I do remember that. Yes, I do remember that. He was a homeless man, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. He was mentally ill and homeless, like the people that were are here to talk about today?
Well, it's hard to keep track of all the cases because this is going on all over the place. It's not
it
just,
is.
It's not going on in just one state or 10 states. It's all over the place. And
yes.
People are angry about it everywhere. And in Atlanta, a group called Cop Watch won a $40,000 settlement from a judge because they were filming the police. Now, the police weren't doing anything wrong at this point, but the police said, you can't film us. And Cop Watch said, yes, we can. We have the right to film the police. And the judge agreed with Cop Watch, and they're active in other issues, too. It's not just police violence that they're active in. They bought a house near the main transit line, and they've had trainings at the house about how to stand up for your rights and how to protect yourself from government abuse. Because the police they're employees of the government. They're not all bad. Some of them are good, but when they are bad, they threaten the lives of innocent people, and they can get away with murder.
And they threaten public peace. They threaten public peace.
And threaten public peace.
That's the thing.
But
you know, what's happening in Missouri is now something that we're going to do a national day of protest about today. And as I said, here in the Decatur and Atlanta area, we're meeting at the old courthouse on Decatur Square at 7 p.m. You see, we hope that everyone is peaceful at every place that demonstrations are held. But whenever you get a bunch of people together who have tempers, some of them, you don't know what might happen. So what I'm saying is abusive police threaten the public peace for everybody. And that's why
they should
be controlled.
We're also paying money to their salary, and when they beat up somebody or kill somebody, they've gotten away with killing people or beating people, and they're paid to do it. You know, I can understand if a lot of these people are unarmed. If it's something to do with defending their life, you know, that's a different story. That's something that's justifiable. But a lot of these people are not doing anything. They had their hands up in the air, or they were laying on the ground, or they were, arrested and put in handcuffs. And it needs to be under a national system and also train them to avoid and make psychological testing so that you weed out the racist and the corrupt people so they don't get hired as a policeman. There's a town in Tennessee that does that.
I think, Paul Hayes, that they're wanted. As a matter of fact, the police departments in all 50 states have been militarized. They have been given tanks, automatic weapons, machine guns, tear gas, rubber bullets, and live ammunition to do these sorts of things. All of those things were used to come after the peaceful protesters in that town in Missouri, Ferguson, yesterday. They came after them with tanks, rubber bullets, tear gas, everything. And so the situation is that the federal government, don't think that these police are rogue police. That's the perception. But the federal government is equipping police departments across the nation with military equipment. And I read last night that under, I think it's LESO, they're giving them helicopters and everything, and that they must use these items within a year in order to keep them. So you give all of these police departments all of this heavy militarized equipment and then give them a year to use it? Well, you're telling them to go out and attack communities. And you're telling them primarily to go and attack black communities. Go ahead, sir.
They gave sniper weapons to the DeKalb County Police in Atlanta, in the Georgia, Atlanta area. I don't know if they still have those. This was a few years ago.
I'm not sure.
Well, but they're not just killing black people. There are all kinds of people that are victims. It's not just one.
I agree with you. I agree with you. There are all kinds of people who are victims. That's why all kinds of people need to stand up together. That is precisely why. Because all kinds of people are being victimized by these overzealous police officers throughout America. But for the most part, because of the individual racial prejudice of the police officers, blacks are the primary target. But yes, they are coming after all kinds of people. The young man who I was talking about a few minutes ago, Kelly Thomas, was a Caucasian, 33 years old, homeless, who was beat to death by Fullerton County, California police officers. So you are absolutely right, Paul Hayes. They are coming after us all.
What about the violence by the police at the national conventions that are Democratic or Republican? They have arrested lots of people who were peacefully protesting, and they have accused people of things that are not true. And this was, you know, years ago in New York and Minneapolis. But it's a criminal chill. What's going on? They're shaking down the people like criminals do, and they're forcing people to hire lawyers. Most people don't have money to hire lawyers, and you've got to get a lawyer to get out of jail because you've been accused by the police of doing something at the Democratic or Republican National Convention when it should just be protest, and they should allow people to protest and not make it something that people are going to go to jail for. That's more than the police. That's the attorney general and the judge too are part of this.
Thank you. Absolutely right. It comes, as I say to you, it's like when you go into a school and you hear teachers screaming at children and disrespecting them and calling them out of their names and sometimes physically accosting them. That is not necessarily just a teacher's attitude. That is the attitude of the principal, the leadership. The Board of Education, if it wasn't the principal allowing it, then the teachers wouldn't conduct themselves that way because their job is on the line. So these police officers are acting out of the allowed disregard for human and civil rights that the U.S. Department of Justice allows them, because that is their superior. All of the police chiefs, all of the police departments, all of the police officers are under the U.S. DOJ, and they have no fear that the federal police will do anything to bring justice. No fear of that whatsoever.
In a lot of countries around the world, there's one police for the entire country. It's called the National Police, and they study the same law, they study the same conditions, and they study, they have a one department that they report to. But in the United States, you have like 18,000 police departments. It's real bureaucratic, and they are, it's hard to change the law everywhere because you've got so many different jurisdictions. There are so many different laws that you have to change in order to win victories for the people. And, you know, this is something that, like in Canada, they have the Royal Canadian Police. And they can go anywhere in the country and fight crime. Because we need somebody on our side. You know, we can't just let violence take over everywhere. There's a lot of black-on-black crime. There's a lot of methamphetamine production in rural areas that's harming the health and teeth of people. There's other drugs that are dangerous that you can't work or go to school when you're taking them. And, you know, they recently found 10 police officers in Atlanta guilty of helping drug traffickers. They were protecting the drug traffickers. And now, it's true there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of police in the metro Atlanta area, but there were 10 really bad dudes. And they were guilty. They were found guilty and put in jail for 1 to 9 years for racketeering and organized crime. And this is something we pay our taxes for?
Well, first of all, I'm glad you mentioned taxes, because people have the wrong idea about police officers overall. They have the wrong concept of what a police officer's duty is. First of all, the United States Supreme Court has ruled twice that police have no duty to protect citizens, no duty whatsoever to protect citizens. I have been in a situation where I was followed by a government vehicle leading four other cars, and I was waylaid at a neighborhood Chevron station. I called 911 for help, and police did not come. It wasn't until after I researched that I discovered that the Supreme Court has already ruled that police have no duty to protect citizens. They take an oath to protect the peace. That's their oath. It's, you know, we always read that the police are here to serve and protect, but that's it. They stop right there. They don't say what they're serving or who they're serving or what they're protecting or who they're protecting. The police
also
pay our tax money, but they're not paid to protect and serve us, the people. Understand that.
They're also in a union. The police officers have a union that consistently takes the side of the police officer, even if it's something like Rodney King, when it's filmed. You know, they film that. I mean, that was evidence. And they take the side of the police, even when it's obvious and open and totally transparent that the police have done something wrong. They have a union that takes their side.
Absolutely.
And that's wrong.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I heard the Association in New York say, regarding Mr. Garner's recent choking death by police in NYPD, this man who's over the Police Benevolent Society said that, as far as he's concerned and as far as that organization is concerned, Mr. Garner should have obeyed quicker. So nothing that is done to citizens will make any police association turn its back on their murderous police. Nothing. And nothing will make them change not in Washington. Because what happened, if you remember, can this president took office, one of his good friends, Professor Gates, was arrested while trying to go into his own house. Professor Gates is a Harvard professor, and he had come home from town, realized he was locked out of his house, and he decided to go in a window. The police came and asked him for his ID, and he gave the policeman his ID. But even after that, the police officer arrested Professor Gates, and he was targeted. He was arrested, and the president spoke out against this. And as so often happens, the victims, as you pointed out, Paul, the victims of inappropriate actions by police are usually themselves charged with some offense. And so Professor Gates was charged with being insubordinate to an officer. And so he was arrested. And the President of the United States spoke about his being targeted because of him being a black man in that neighborhood. And the whole country went crazy when the police when the president spoke up for his friend, who is black, who was being targeted by police, even though he showed his ID to show that that was his house he was going in, he was still arrested. And the president spoke out about that, and you might recall that they had a beer summit on the White House lawn where this detective, who actually works under the president had to entertain him on the White House lawn, and after that, the crimes against African Americans throughout the nation went up probably 100%. There were 100% more murders and arrests, wrongful arrests, of black people than ever before, because that beer summit was perceived throughout the nation as being a capitulation of this administration to the police, that they could do as they wanted. So now, whether or not that's how it was meant, that is how it seems to have been perceived, as a capitulation to the police departments that they can do whatever they want to African Americans and they would not be interfered with in any way by the Justice Department. What do you think, Paul?
Well, I remember that, and I think you have some good statistics about things. We have a long way to go, and
yes, we do.
We have to stand up and get organized and be heard. And I've got to go. I've got to get on a bus. But
well, Paul, I enjoyed having you, and I'm sure the audience is standing up and applauding for the information that you gave us today, and for adding your voice for justice for the homeless, mentally ill. And we look forward to your coming back and being a guest again. And I'm so glad that the world can see through your example and Bob Yarber's example that this is not a racial issue. This is an issue that affects us all, everyone who's concerned about liberty and justice for all.
Can I say two things real quick?
Sure.
Can I say two things real quick?
Yes.
I want everybody to study what happens with Robin Williams, because the brain can have trouble and get depressed, and people can kill themselves like he did. And also, when people get killed by the government, by the police or the National Guard, often it's the families that have to pay for the funeral. The government doesn't pay, a lot of the time, they don't pay for the funeral for people to be buried. And that's an additional insult and terror to the family, because they don't have thousands of dollars to bury these people, whoever they may be, whatever they are a victim. They're a victim two or three times in a row. First of all, they're a victim of violence. Second of all, they're a victim of the government. Third of all, they're a victim of the cost of burial. And that's too much to take for most people. All right. Well I'm going to head out.
Thank you for pointing that out. Thank you. Well, God bless you. We hope you will come again next Thursday and every week. And we also have shows at 3 p.m. Eastern time most days. And I really appreciate you, sir.
Thank you.
That was Paul Hayes, everybody. He's a good friend and a comrade of Bob Darby. Bob Darby is our advocate here at Human Rights Demand on behalf of the homeless mentally ill. My name is Mary Neal. I'm an advocate on behalf of people everywhere, but particularly the incarcerated mentally ill. And to us, it does not matter if you are black, white, Native American, Latino, Asian, or any other ethnic group, any other race, any religion. All we care about is liberty and justice for all, being the law of the land and not just being the law on paper, but actually being the enforced law of the land. I want you to know that we are collecting 100 cases of brutality, abuse, and wrongdoing of the mentally ill to take to the United Nations. Things are to the point in America where, as Paul Hayes said, oversight is needed. Unfortunately, I found out in my brother's secret arrest and murder that that's needed cannot and will not come from within the USA. If the Justice Department was interested in liberty and justice for all, first of all, these things would not be happening on such a regular basis without any accountability by police officers. This has been going on, and it's exacerbated greatly in the last 8 years. This would not be happening if the Justice Department would use its ability to bring about change. So, since the change will not come from inside America, we are preparing 100 cases of abuse, brutality, mentally ill to take to the United Nations. We invite you to call and tell us about your situation with your loved one or yourself. If you've been denied services or if you've been abused, we ask families of mentally ill people who've been victims of wrongful death to please get in touch with us. Become one of the 100 cases for the United Nations on behalf of America's incarcerated mentally ill. The United Nations has declared, for instance, long-term solitary confinement as being a human rights violation. You might have relatives who are in long-term solitary confinement who are mentally ill people. Now, of course, we're concerned about anyone who's incarcerated in this year, but this particular legal action, international legal action, will be especially for people who've been labeled or who as being mentally ill. So give us a ring or call and comment at the show or write your information underneath one of the Human Rights Demand shows, and I will receive it. I will give you my phone number, but I am a Quarantel Protocol. I don't get half of my phone calls, and neither do I get half of my emails. But I urge you to try to reach me. My telephone number is 678-531-0262. That's 678-531-0262. And my email address is maryloves.justice@gmail.com. I'm presently taking a course to become a human rights defender, a UN, United Nations human rights defender, I hope to be certified. But with or without certification, the complaint to the United Nations regarding how the mentally ill are treated in America will go forward. I want you to know that you don't have to be a lawyer. You don't have to be certified as a human rights defender. Anyone is able to take complaints before the United Nations. America is a member state of the United Nations, and the United Nations has determined that any crimes that are done by the government in a nation, whether it's a local government or a federal government, they all are laid at the feet of the federal government. So if you've been harmed by police in Mississippi, or if you've been treated badly by a prison in California, wherever the abuse happened, or whoever was the abuser, the charge goes to the USA because it is their ultimate responsibility to see to the protection of its citizens. And we're going to take it to the United Nations on behalf of the mentally ill. So I want to thank you very much for joining us today on Human Rights Demand. Pray for us as we gather in an international day of action, or rather a national day of action, a national day of protest regarding the Michael Brown. And I want to thank you for joining us every Thursday at 3 p.m. while we discuss with you, because we invite you to call in, to discuss the homeless, mentally ill. God bless you, and we look forward to talking to you again about this subject next Thursday, when Bob Darby, advocate for the homeless mentally ill, will be back with us. He told me to let you know that he apologizes for not being with us today, but he had personal business to attend to, and he will be back with us next Thursday. Special thanks to him for arranging for his friend, Paul Hayes, to fill in for him. Thank you, Paul, for giving your very good information regarding the circumstances of the homeless, mentally ill in this area as well as throughout the country. And we thank you so much for joining us here on Human Rights Demand. God bless you, everybody. Continue to have a glorious summer day.